This is Infection, the survival podcast, recorded live on Tuesday, February 23rd, 2021, episode 319. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Welcome to another episode of Infection, the survival podcast. Infection is your source for the latest information on survival video games. We bring you the latest news, reviews, updates, and more each and every week. My name is Nick Craig, your illustrious host, as I have been the last 318 weeks. You can follow me on Parler at Nicholas M. Craig, at Nick on Gab. I'm verified, kind of a big deal, but you know, it's fine. You don't have to worry about that. You can also check out our website, infectionpodcast.com. I could not do this alone because there would be no prep. And for other reasons, talking for 2 hours. I remember, Brian, you were like, you had the flu or something 1 week, so you did like half the show. And I was like, I could do the second half. And I was like, I got 20 minutes in. I was like, 2 hours is a long time to talk. There's no breaks, no commercials. There's none of that.
Yeah.
So, hello, Mr. Brian.
Yeah, that's, I remember that too, because I was like, if I talk too long, like I start coughing and then my throat just gives out. So I was interjecting every once in a while, and then you were pretty much carrying the show. So
yeah, it's like that episode of SpongeBob where Patrick's in Sandy's thing and he can't breathe and his
when they go into air.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what that was me doing the show. I'm a big fan of SpongeBob. It's a great show.
I was watching, Finding Nemo. That's what it was. And there was this part
kind of an overrated movie. I'm just my
opinion. Well, but there was a part that kind of caught my attention because he's underwater, or he goes up to yell because his kid's, you know, missing or whatever. He goes above the air. He's yelling,
Don't spoil it.
Well, then he dips under the water for a second. It takes a big breath and he goes back in the air. I just thought it was, you know, kind of funny, the twist.
Don't spoil Finding Nemo, even though it's been out for.
Well, he never finds him. Don't worry.
I don't remember the last time I saw. I don't honestly know if I remember how Finding Nemo even ends, to be perfectly honest. It's been probably 15 years since I've seen it. Well, there you go.
I thought it was entertaining.
Wait, and so what happens out? Does he find the kid at the end? I know they touch the butt at some point.
But they find it. So the kid's in like some fish tank somewhere, right?
Oh, in the dentist office?
So he reaches in.
There's plenty of twists and turns
making that happen, but
They were supposed to do a Finding Dory, but I believe it got canceled.
No, they do have a Finding Dory. It is a movie.
Oh. Whoops. Was it recent? I believe
they're supposed to. Yes, they made it. Finding Dory. I mean, it's not super recent.
I so apologize to our audience. I know this is not what you tuned in for. I mean, but
if you consider 2016 recent.
Oh, that is recent. Finding Nemo came out a long time
ago. 4 or 5 years. So, yeah, Finding Nemo
that's
came out in 2003.
That's a huge 13 years for a sequel. Yeah. That's damn. All right. We got that out of the way. Mr. Brian, outside of watching Disney movies, where can people find you on the internet?
Well, of course, if you want to find me, now you can find me at Brian Aldridge on Parler and on Gab. And I'm on some other things, too, under different names. Or you can go to my website, biteoftech.com. Also, if you just go to infectionpodcast.com, check out on the right-hand side there. Join our server on Discord, and that's the easy way to pretty much connect up with Nick and I. If you jump into our Discord, there's a news channel. If you want to submit a news topic, perhaps there's a game we're not covering. Perhaps there's a topic that came up that week you think is important for us to talk about. Just go toss that in the news channel and we will cover it in the next upcoming episode. Now, if you join our Steam group, you get a notification before the live show starts. So you just be a member of that, have Steam open, and then Tuesdays, or if we change the day even, get a little notice. If you happen to be sitting at your computer, you can come and join us. Then we have the YouTube channel for this, which we upload to and stream live to, so you're more than welcome to check that out. We have Twitch, which we stream live to, and then BitChute and DLive for video. But if you want to check out our pre and post show, we have our podcast Extras, which is in there that Judd does for us. And then the audio-only forms, which is the podcast form of the show, is at the lower right-hand side. There's a lot of different services to use for that. So regardless of whether you want to do it on a computer, a phone, whatever it is, something on there should work for you. And then show notes. Now, for 319 episodes of the show, just click on the episode that you're going to be watching or listening to. There's a player for audio and video right there, and then links for every single topic that we're going to cover. So if you're wanting to listen and not have video, you can just follow along, click on videos as we play them. Very easy and nice to use. Now, if you want to support us, just jump to the support tab. We've got that, or go to infectionpodcast.com/support, or you can go to amazon.infectionpodcast.com or humble.infectionpodcast.com. And then Prime Gaming, as they call them now, subs as well. And we'll be coming up with some other ways. I don't know if you want to discuss that.
We do, and we've got a new service on the board this week, and I'm not full, we're not, there's still a whole bunch of cool features on it that I haven't really unlocked yet, but we are now on Subscribestar. So subscribestar.com/infectionpodcast. We'll get a link on our site for that here soon, but subscribestar.com/infectionpodcast. If you want to subscribe on this, you click the subscribe button, you create an account, and I've got it set to $5. You can change it. But that's what I've got it set to be the Twitch, the similar thing to the Twitch Prime sub thing. I'm also going to post the episodes on there for anybody that does subscribe. And then we're working on our Discord notifications and whatnot so we can get all that stuff set up. So if I know there won't be a huge group of people that do, and I'll just say up front, we're not posting extra content on it. I've made it very clear that we're not.
It's an alternative.
It's an alternative to Twitch if you feel so inclined to do so. There's no bonus content. At least at this point, if it goes really well, maybe. But as of right now, it's literally just a support thing. Nothing more. Don't feel inclined to do so. If you've got any questions about it, shoot me a message on Discord and we'll get it squared away. So subscribestar.com/infectionpodcast. And there's a whole bunch of other ways you can support the program as well. I don't believe we had any new subs this past week. But before we get started here, Brian, I kind of destroyed my credibility about 3 minutes ago talking about Finding Nemo, but I will tell you this.
Did they cancel that? Never mind.
Because I don't want to talk about it. I kind of destroyed my credibility, and that's fine.
Yes.
But I have to tell you this. I have to tell you in the audience something. I told you this last week after the show. You have got to watch Your Honor.
Yeah.
I just finished watching it right before this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of the best television shows I've ever watched. So if it's called Your Honor, stars Bryan Cranston. I know this is not the movie show. I don't watch a lot of TV and whatnot and media. And when I get turned on to something and I really like it, that's why I'm bringing this up, because it's not very often I watch things like this. So if it is arguably one of the best television series I have ever watched. 10 episodes. It's a mini series, so it's done. After mm-hmm. a single episode, so it's 10 1-hour episodes and that's that.
And
so,
it just came out this past year, didn't it?
Like the last episode was like 2 weeks ago, so it came out in November, December, and then ran through the early part of this year. So recent show, really good. I believe it's on Showtime. It's called Your Honor. Again, if you never take any advice from me, this is a hell of a show, especially if you like Bryan Cranston. So take that for what it's worth. I'm not a big show or movie buff, but as I was getting rid of the show, I was like, damn, still thinking about the show. So it was good stuff. Good.
So one thing I want to kind of give an update too. So I've swapped out all of my Amazon devices, right? So I swapped out all of my Fire TVs and Alexas and all the things that are going to make noises when you say their names. And I switched over to the Rokus. So I have all those on Rokus. And then my dad, I brought one over to show him, the interface and everything. And so he ordered it. So I put it over the weekend, put one in for him. And it's just amazing how much content. I'm so surprised how much content there is on those channels. And like the Roku channel, all this stuff that has normally what's on cable is free in a similar interface. So it's just really weird. So if you are looking, because I know we've been talking about this the past couple weeks, if you're looking for alternate means for streaming devices and everything, I know Nick has touted Roku for years. I mean, since the Google Plus Hangout days.
Since I've known you. I think,
yeah,
I think
you talked about
Roku.
That's
the only thing in my life that I've had longer than this podcast, maybe my Roku 3.
Is the Roku. Yeah, the Roku. So I think that's definitely something worth checking out. If you're interested, I got the Roku Ultra. I think it's the top one,
yes.
The Premiere, the Ultra, mm-hmm. and the thing just works amazingly. So,
yes.
Firebomb saying, I need to talk to you guys after the show about this Roku thing. Yeah, because I have Fire Sticks. I have now the Cubes, the 4K, the newest Amazon ones sitting in a bag, and I'm just deciding what I want to do with those. If I want to sell them or give them away or what. But this has definitely been a lot better, and a lot better parental controls, which is kind of nice.
Absolutely. So there you go. Let me see here. Last week you made a statement on the show that I'm going to call you out on. You made a statement that you can't get Xboxes and PlayStations. And I said, that's not true. You're just checking the wrong places. Turns out I was right. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So I did order. Now I got it through a glitch because I checked.
Have you paid for it? And has it been shipped? Because I bought these glitched items too, and they never show up.
Let me tell you how this worked. So I remember I told you I had bookmarks for all the major target, because I was really nervous about going through third party and anything that's not normal, right? Because people are doing all kinds of weird things with these. So what I did is I went on to Best Buy, and I am looking to get the S and the X. I want to get an S for one TV that's a 1080, you know, for the ones that are in the room side by side. I figure I'll get, for the 1080, I'll just get the S. And then for the 4K TV, I'll get the X. Well, the only one that I saw that was available on BestBuy.com was the S. And so I went on there, tried to add it to my cart, and there was an error. No matter what I did, multiple browser, multiple platforms, so that for some reason their system was messed up and you could not add the Xboxes to the cart. And so I just was like, well, okay, I'm going to be one of those guys. I'm going to contact their support and just act all innocent, saying, I'm trying to add a product to your cart and it's just not working. I don't understand. So I did that, and they said, all right, well, would you like me to complete the purchase for you?
Oh, no, please don't do that. Oh,
please
no.
Don't do that.
That'd be terrible. So, oh God, no!
Yeah, and I wasn't like there's a bug. It's just like, for some reason, you know.
Oh, here's my wallet. Oh no, not my money.
So they complete the purchase, and I order one, and it'll be here on the 27th. So that'll be my first step into it. Now I still haven't been able to find the X, and I'm sure if I went through some sort of other means, you know, through some tracker or something. But I was, you know, I've been wanting to order it through a main place where if I needed to return it or for it was, you know, some other thing I could, but we'll see. This'll bide my time until the X's are more openly available, and then I'll order one of those.
So you got the discless version?
Yeah, I got the discless version. Yes.
Okay. Gotcha. So that was what, $399 or $499? $399. I think.
Aren't they $299?
Oh, it's your money. It's your money, not mine.
I think they're only $299, which seems like a ridiculous.
No, I think they're $399.
I'm gonna pull up my. I'll pull up my invoice right now, and then that way we'll have a pretty good.
Yeah. Idea. So they are available. You just have to kind of get lucky. There are a couple of good Twitter accounts. If you use Twitter, IGN Deals, Cheap Ass Gamer post when they are restocked. So they are available for that.
Yeah. And so I would just encourage you, if you are looking for this, just, I mean, I don't know if they're available right now. You
get, yeah, no, you're
$299.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, that's a really good price for a new console. And I figured, why not? You know, this will bide me or hold me over until I can get the one that I want.
I just found an interesting thing on Microsoft's website. Did you know you can finance the Xbox?
Yeah, you can. Yes. Seems kind of odd. If you're in a situation where you have to finance the console, I mean, I guess I understand.
So this is interesting, though. So it's $25 a month, and you think, okay, that's like what, like an Aaron's or a Rent-A-Center? But you also get Xbox Live Game Pass Ultimate with it. How much is Game Pass Ultimate normally? Isn't it normally like $15?
Yeah, so... So that's a pretty good deal. So they're
it's still not a good deal. You're stupid if you finance it, in my personal opinion.
But I'm saying, as far as at least they're giving you a little extra for it.
Yeah, that's, I didn't even know that was a feature that they offered. So
I've seen it kind of listed there and hinted at, but.
Do you get to keep it? I assume you get to keep it after.
Yeah, it's just a pay to own.
Yeah, I was like, that would suck. You like pay for it, and then they send the Xbox man your house to repo your repo your Xbox. That's interesting. That really just shows that the console isn't the moneymaker. It's the extra things and whatnot that they sell on top of it. So yeah. That's exciting. You'll get that, you said what, this weekend?
The 27th, yeah. So okay. Just under a week.
So that'll be cool. Look forward to getting a little bit of firsthand news from that. It is pretty funny though, Brian. I don't believe I've ever seen a console launch like this where
it just
really doesn't matter. Like it's not even that people don't want it. It's just they're making every single game for the last gen. And games that are coming out later this year, like Xbox One.
And that's
and
why
Xbox,
I'm not really that worked up. That's why I'm not really worked up about getting the lower model, because it's gonna be the one I'm replacing is Terra's Xbox One.
The original.
Not the S or the X. The original.
VCR.
The VCR looking box. Yes. That's what we're replacing. It's going to seem night and day different, better than what that thing, even though it's the lowest model. So this will be fine. This will hold me over. It'll let me kind of check it out, see what I like about it, see what I don't. I can't imagine how much longer this total lack of... why in the world would... What's this, 3-4 months later, they're still impossible to get. It's just
but you're wrong. They're not impossible to get.
I got it because it was a bug in their shopping cart is the only reason.
But I've told you this multiple times. You can get it from these sites. If you just follow a Twitter account, they'll say they're restocking at 10 a.m. If you know exactly when to go there, you can.
Yeah, just go and you click it right at that moment.
Yeah. So it's not,
it's just it's weird. Not, I mean, you can't just go to Walmart and be like, hey, I want to buy an Xbox, or you can't go down to Best Buy and say, hey, I want an Xbox and just get one. That's correct. The first time I've ever seen it like this far away from the launch.
Yes, I will agree with you on that. It all comes down to, there is a huge silicon shortage, that's plaguing. That's why that's not the only reason, but that's why there's no CPUs. That's why there's no GPUs. There's no silicon. That's that from what I've been reading and watching on different tech channels, even car. I was reading a thing yesterday, Brian, car manufacturers are having issues because all of their, you buy this fancy new car and it's got this big old, entertainment system looking thing in it.
Yep.
That's powered by a some sort of CPU and GPU combo unit. It's a chip that somebody is producing, and there's not enough silicone to produce all of those chips. And
yeah.
That's a huge issue. It's plaguing everybody and everything from car manufacturers to the gaming industry, which is quite a wide group of people. Yes, and Mel says, and NVIDIA is making mining GPUs. Yes. If you didn't hear anything about that, Linus Tech Tips did a great video on how stupid NVIDIA is, and it was a pretty good rundown. It's a little bit of a long video, but it was
now. Very aren't they also releasing a version that is like limited so that people don't mine with them?
Oh yeah, not a crazy software and firmware update you couldn't do on your $3,000 video card. Oh no, that's gonna stop the guys that are trying to mine.
Yeah, I just thought it was odd, they put out a thing to actually make it not work as well instead of making more.
That's the whole premise of his video, is like, so crypto people that are going to mine cryptocurrency are arguably the biggest nerds of nerds, right? If you're trying to find an NVIDIA 3000 series GPU to mine Bitcoin, you're probably competent enough to flash the firmware on your GPU.
Yes. Yeah. They did an update. So what are you going to do now? Yeah, if you bought it before, if you bought it, if you already have one, it's not doing that. So I don't know. I can't imagine that it'd be impossible just to get that alternate firmware and rewrite it over your current one.
Not complicated. And a lot of GPUs have some GPUs, especially the higher end ones, have a backup ROM. So like you flash the main ROM and then the other ROM sits in backup. Like it's stupid.
Yeah. You can put it in recovery mode and just kind of go.
So, I mean, I thought that was rather interesting. I got this email today, Brian. We're on all these email lists because of all the shows that we've attended. And most of it is people trying to hawk their crappy indie games that I really don't care about. But there was, I did get an email today from them, and this was a market share of gaming consoles. I found this to be rather interesting. I don't know where they got these numbers from, and I tried digging down into it and I couldn't find it. They're claiming that in 2012, PlayStation had 90% of the operating system market and Xbox had zero, which seems impossible. But moving forward to when the Xbox One came out, now it's no surprise that the Xbox One, the last gen Xbox was a far inferior console to the PlayStation 4. The PS4 was a far better console. It had better games, better exclusives, ran better. And this is coming from the Xboxiest fanboy in the world, right? I stood and froze my ass off on a cold November day in 2013 with a bunch of neckbeards, myself included, to get this Xbox in the middle of a blizzard. So this is coming from somebody that is not an Xbox fanboy. But you have seen now that the gap has shrunk significantly, and that I think is in part due to, well, of course, the console launches late last year, but Sony's lack of being able to really hone in exclusives. You can see the market share went from upwards of 70% to now 57-42, which Sony still has a sizable lead in that, but it's shrinking.
But at that rate, they're going to cross here in the next year easily.
Yes, and I do believe that if you were to buy a console right now with all that they offer with Game Pass, I think it, unless you're really, really itching for a Sony exclusive, which I don't know of any that are out yet, or any large ones that are out, I think you'd be better off getting an Xbox and getting like Game Pass Ultimate so you can stream a whole bunch of games and then play them on your computer.
One thing that I didn't mention that was in the news this week is that the EA purchased Codemasters, which does all of those racing games. They do a lot of the,
Gran Turismo?
It's another one.
The F1
one of the
games?
Formula? Codemasters.
Dirt?
Games. Yeah, Dirt. They do Dirt. The F1. So F1, Dirt, Grid. So a lot of different racing games. Those are now under EA, which is included in the Ultimate Pass. It's the EA Pass as well. So that's going to be, and they had a lot of them already on there, but I'm not sure if every single one of them were on there, but now definitely I'm pretty sure that every single racing game that they make will most likely be on there as well.
Yeah, which is,
and who knows, Overlord, they've got a bunch of other games too.
Oh, that, and EA has already pushed some of their services into Xbox Game Pass and have brought their games to Steam as well. So it'll interesting to see what Origin and EA continue to do with that. Firebomb in our chat, Brian, says Game Pass, in my opinion, makes the Xbox the clear winner. I mean, I think especially now, and so 2 years from now, when you've got a huge library of games and there's more exclusives, my opinion may change. But if you handed me $400 or $300 and held a gun to my head today and said, pick a console, it's got to be the Xbox, I think. That obviously can change and probably will change. I mean, it'll ebb and flow. I know that they announced a new Ratchet and Clank on the PlayStation 5, which pisses me off because it's my favorite game series ever. And now I'm going to have to go buy a stupid PlayStation 5 to play.
But they will eventually, I'm sure, come to PC because all of the exclusives now have been coming
Sony,
to PC.
Sony, though.
But Sony's been doing it, too. It's another zombie apocalypse Days Gone.
Days Gone
is now coming to PC, and that was a PlayStation exclusive. It seems like they're now starting to get on the train of, all right, we have the certain timeline that we're letting pass, a year or whatever, and then they're rolling them out to PC. So I think that those exclusives are kind of going to go away because they realize, well, generally we've sold how many we're going to sell on console. Then we open it up to PC and you get a whole new market. So that's been working, and it kind of caters to those who maybe are on Xbox but still want to play some of these games a little bit later.
Head Neophyte says, I don't know how many people are like me. I'm a social gamer and most of my gamer friends are on Sony, so I'm stuck with Sony unless I want to play with strangers. Now that is a huge part of it as well.
Yes.
So I guess my question to you, Head Neophyte, would be, are your gamer friends, have they already purchased PS5s, or can you maybe lead the charge and purchase an Xbox and convince them? Because I was in the same way with the Xbox 360. After that came, when the Xbox One came out, a bunch of my friends got PS4s, and I was over here with my lonesome VCR and my you know, my Gears of War and my Halo and chatting with random people on Xbox Live because only two of my friends picked up Xbox Ones because when that launched, it was a disaster. There was literally no games. There was Sunset Overdrive, which was a crappy game that Insomniac made. There was that crappy Medieval Times game and then a crappy racing game were like the only three titles that were exclusives. And then, of course, like my 17th copy of GTA 5 that I bought. It is interesting to see that. And Head Neophyte says two of his friends already have PS5s. Well, then I guess. Get a PlayStation then, I guess, if you're not going to be able to convince them over.
Bingo, boom, shakalaka.
But I do think that those things will continue. I do think that gap will shrink. And I would guess that as it sits right now, Microsoft will probably win this next generation of console wars because of their behavior in purchasing companies. They're going to own everything. There'll be nothing left to own.
So. They're like the Tencent of America, maybe. I mean, that's pretty much what it seems like, purchasing all these companies. I mean, Tencent, now they do it through the government and force people to
allow them to purchase if they want access
to that country. You don't think so? If they want access to China, they have to go through one of the
There's only
a couple of them.
But they bought the Conan team. That wasn't the Chinese government, I don't think, sent them out to Norway or whatever country they offer them.
But if they want to sell in China, if they have a product they want to sell in China, they are required to make an agreement with one of these companies.
Usually
includes them getting a partial stake in the company. That's why they have so many stakes in all these companies, is because they have to allow them to do that if they want to sell in China. So that's
true.
That's been happening. And so I don't know. I mean, that's Microsoft is kind of the similar way. They're getting a piece of pretty much every single company, just to get them in the Game Pass, not to get them in China, but get them in the Game Pass, which is it's working out well.
I want to thank our friend Donnie for hitting us up with the resubscription here on Twitch. And by the way, after last week's show, Brian, or was it 2 weeks ago? Mm-hmm. We talked about a game called Survival Lost Way. He streamed that game. I actually watched it. It was a good live stream. And now somehow he has become the moderator of their Discord server.
So, perfect.
So Donnie, I'm not sure what you did to get in on all of that, but he is now the moderator of their Discord server. I jumped in there the other day and I was like, Donnie Grimes. I was like, that can't be Donnie. And I looked at it, I was like, oh my God, it is. So he's running their Discord. Perfect. That's cool. If you want to go check that out, you can go and do that. We'll talk more about that game when we get some more news. That's interesting. The EA thing, Codemasters, Xbox and Gap and market share and all that fun stuff. Very, very interesting things that we've got here. Let's talk about Twitch for a second. One of the biggest issues with online music originally, Brian, was Metallica. They were one of the heavy bands that went after piracy.
With Napster and everything else.
Yes, and they pissed off a lot of people. Now, let's be fair. These people were stealing their content. So take that for, you wouldn't download a car.
Would you? Yeah. Well, I would if I could.
Actually, somebody sent me that yesterday and I responded back with a car meme. But yes. But nevertheless, they were very aggressive on trying to protect their intellectual property, which, you know, courts look at as, okay, that's why you should be able to hold your property because you're willing to enforce it. Nevertheless. So there was a BlizzCon was this past weekend, and Metallica did kind of normally at these big conventions, right? They have a huge stage and they have a band come out and play. Well, obviously, BlizzCon is remote because of COVID. So they had Metallica do a little ditty in their garage. So they played about 10 seconds of, I believe it, I don't know what song, it was like Whiskey in the Jar or one of a popular Metallica song. So it started off like this, and then Twitch did a switcheroo on the audio, and I don't know if anybody's heard this, but the audio switch here is quite laughable.
It's epic.
Oh, hold on a second. Why is this not playing?
Twitch isn't going to let you play.
This may be
the end for us.
No, I have my browser tab muted because I'm a smart show host. But so, oh, here we go. For Whom the Bell Tolls.
Perfect.
Sing it. So, it appears that Twitch did not get the proper royalties set up for this, and or they are so paranoid that Metallica was going to DMCA takedown them. So they literally just swapped the music out for some 8-bit chiptune in the middle of the song.
If you're streaming for the company that has hired them to do a performance, are you?
The
not
show was
allowed?
Only online. This was only a web show. Like, this did not exist anywhere else but the internet.
That's what I'm saying. Like, how could this not be allowed?
Bingo, boom, shakalaka.
That just doesn't make any sense to me.
Donnie says, I'm still pissed at Metallica over Napster. So there's still a lot of people that are. But it was just it was the most. Like, they couldn't have picked anything to fit the mood besides like some Zelda music. I mean, that's literally what this is. It's just
it's 8-bit. It's some 8-bit tunes.
Yeah, I mean, it's literally 8-bit chip tune. I feel like I'm playing Ocarina of Time.
Perfect.
I mean, come on.
That's our new intro
Twitch
music. So, thank you. Firebomb, he just resubscribed for 18 months in a row. He says, it's sad but true. Also, they played in a new remix. Metallica is his favorite band, and so he was upset about that. So,
yes. Metallica's pretty, I'm a big fan of Metallica as well. They did Metallica dirty. Yeah, but see, but Metallica did a
Metallica
lot of
people did everybody dirty back in the day. So.
Yeah, Metallica was trying to throw your grandmother in jail because you used LimeWire on her computer. Like,
and
Metallica,
and they
did.
They were like, they were saying that online streaming and online content is going to destroy the music industry. Well, actually, wait a minute, it saved it. So how about that? People are selling plenty on stream, getting plenty of royalties from streaming music on all the platforms and purchasing music where they need to.
But see, and this is an interesting point. Nissan Communication brings up, he says, Brian, I'm not here. I've had two artists in the studio on two different shows. They said themselves they could not legally play any of their songs. It's because they don't own the licensing rights. That's part of the agreement when you sign a record deal or what was known as a record deal. Metallica's big enough. I'm pretty sure they own a good chunk of their discography and probably could have gotten this through, but quite funny to
imagine
see.
That someone at Twitch panicking and being like, wait, we can't find another song. And that's the first thing they find. Nothing like Metallica.
Well, and the funniest part is like, if you look at old radio days, Brian, where things were on records or carts, it's like you scramble for anything to grab and they grab the 8-bit chip too. Like on this, they have a catalog of tens of thousands of songs. Like in the old days,
why didn't they type rock or something? when you're doing the search for rock, not music.
But it's just like, again, it's not like they have a limited music supply and it's like, oh my God, just play something quite funny. That was that. I didn't watch BlizzCon. Did you watch Blizz? Did you hear anything from BlizzCon? I'm not sure it was a big show besides
no,
I know
they
showed
I mean,
some
they
classic
did a lot,
stuff.
There's some stuff about Diablo things that are coming up, things like that. But no, I didn't really, just wasn't really interested. I did skim the news to see if there's anything super relevant. But it was it's a lot of Diablo stuff. And there was some stuff about a mobile game, possibly a World of Warcraft mobile game.
Game last time. Or was that them or was that Steam that was like, and it'll be on your mobile?
No. Well, that was Diablo. And that Diablo really got people pissed because they were like, do you not have phones?
Yes. Do you not have phones? Ask? Yes.
That got everybody hating them. So now they're making more mobile games. So. But they're not saying everybody already has World of Warcraft, so they can't really get that medal. Yeah. Diablo Firebomb says Diablo Immortal Mobile was the one that everybody got pissed about. Yeah, and they're remastering Diablo 2. I don't think Diablo Immortal ever did come out.
I don't remember it ever coming. I remember it was just like, look at these idiots. And then I don't believe I heard anything else since then.
Yeah, so. People were pretty pissed about it. So
that was a couple years ago, like at least 3 years.
The Diablo Immortal release date. Supposedly at BlizzCon, it says it rose from the ashes.
This year.
So maybe, oh. Yeah, so maybe they're actually going to release it. I'm trying to see if they have a date because they have a website. You go to DiabloImmortal.com. You can pre-register. It's going to be on iPhone, iPad, Android.
Oh.
So they're still making it. But it's not going to arrive probably until 2022. Wait. I take the back. Overwatch 2 and Diablo 4 unlikely to arrive until 2022. I'm trying to see. Yeah, I don't even see them giving a release date on it. But I think they did mention that it is in the works still. I don't see a date here though. So still working on it. It's okay. Right. It's expected to launch sometime in 2021, but thank no God. Official release date.
Well, we'll I know we'll keep all of our audience who I know is just chomping at the bit to get updates on that. We'll keep you up to date on the latest with Diablo whatever on mobile.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Stadia for a second. I don't know what is going on here, Brian, with the news and everything is a class action lawsuit. You're class actioning this. I think I'm going to class action lawsuit my cat. Maybe I'll class action lawsuit you. I mean, I don't know. Hey,
come up with something good.
I mean, it's literally everything. So a new class action lawsuit has been filed by some lady named Jacqueline something or other. Jacqueline Shepherd is her name. And she's launching it against Stadia for unfair and deceptive trade practices. This is coming from the claim that Stadia would run at 4K and perform better than the Xbox One X and PS4 Pro, which are the last generation highest-end consoles that they made. It's a 42-page lawsuit. There'll be a link in the show notes to it of Shepherd versus Google LLC. She's also suing Bungie and id Software, which isn't id now owned by Microsoft?
I think they are.
So,
I think they are.
Yeah, because it is Bethesda.
Yeah, they are.
Bethesda is Microsoft.
It's owned by Microsoft.
So she's suing Google, Bungie, which I think Bungie is owned by Microsoft as well. So she's suing Google and Microsoft, two of the largest tech companies in the world. Over misleading claims. There are a bunch of people that are saying that the capacity and the ability for Stadia to be able to run the games at 4K 60 was not the case.
They did claim that. They did claim that originally, saying, oh, you can play all these games on 4K 60 frames per second. Then they had to roll that back to 1080p at 60 frames. Or you could upsample. So they're pretty much 1080p scaling up to 2160 and 4K.
Yes.
But really, they're not actual 4K.
Yeah. The claim says that Doom, and that there's literally a Doom tweet still from March of 2019 that claims it. It says it wrongfully generated millions of dollars of revenue as a result of the miss. I don't know anybody that bought. I don't think Doom made millions of dollars on Stadia. I think that's not gonna. The funniest thing about this is that it could come out that they made like literally $0 on Stadia because, first of all, nobody has it and nobody's gonna play Doom on it. Which, by the way, I still need to play.
Well,
Doom
Eternal. That's one thing I think people don't always realize that sometimes, even with these big, because there was that's one thing that I was kind of surprised about with doing the Hangout Canopy thing is we had an index of every single Hangout happening. And you just figured, oh, there's got to be thousands and thousands. No, we had an index of every single public Hangout happening at that point in time. And there wasn't really that many happening. And you would just figure, oh, it's Google and you know everyone knows about this. There'd be a ton. There, some of these products, I think people would be surprised. Sometimes some of these products, even with AAA companies, don't have a ton of people using certain things at times.
Yes. Especially Stadia.
You can have millions of people that know about it, but if you got five people using it, we see that with games when you do, especially when you do some of these game numbers, like it's one of the top games, you know, in the area, yet they got 100 people playing right now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'll say this. I don't know a single person that has even tried Stadia. And I know, we've got like 500 people in our Discord. and I'm in a whole bunch of other Discords with people. I don't know a single
person. I've never had anybody say, hey, I'm playing this on Stadia.
I've heard literally nothing. Like, and I'm not just being a basic whack going, literally. No, I don't know anybody that has even attempted to play Stadia. And I did play it very early on before it was called Stadia with Assassin's Creed, but that was almost 2 years ago. So this is a funny part about Bungie, is that Bungie knew or should have known that Google was making misleading statements about Stadia Pro. So I don't foresee this to go anywhere. I don't believe Miss Jacqueline Shepard is going to be able to sue and successfully sue Google, Bungie, and id Software.
Yeah.
These are so boring because this was filed back in October of last year and it has just finally been transferred to a federal court. So we likely won't hear anything on this for months, if not years. But you heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. Another lawsuit against another gaming company, another class action. It's just kind of getting lame, right?
Let's continue this because there are some more lawsuits and class action things.
Great. I look forward to it.
So with Epic, they did settle a class action lawsuit regarding loot boxes.
Oh my God.
If you purchased loot boxes for Fortnite or Rocket League between July 1st, 2015 and February 22nd, 2021, and exchange in-game virtual currency for any in-game item or purchased in-game virtual currency for use within Fortnite or Rocket League, you could be a part of this settlement. Yeah, so there's a website.
Hold on here. There's an important part of this that a lot of people are missing over. The court is still presiding over whether the settlement will be payments of cash, V-Bucks, or credits. So they could pay you back in V-Bucks. No.
Okay, I take that back, but it has been settled. It will be V-Bucks.
So you're going to file this lawsuit and they're going to give you more fake Monopoly money that they make?
You're going to get 1,000 V-Bucks.
No, you're shitting me. No, where are you reading this?
The next article, the next link down. Go ahead and jump in there. That is 1,000 V-Bucks to anyone who previously purchased a randomized loot box. I mean, I could qualify for this. I know at some point I did buy something. You get 1,000 V-Bucks only to those who purchased one or more loot llamas before the change to receive the credit. So there you go. That is what's happening. You get 1,000 V-Bucks as part of the settlement, which is really, I mean, it's a couple dollars, right? I mean, let me see how much 1,000 V-Bucks cost.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Okay, so that's for everybody. Fortnite players over the age of 18, that's the key, will be able to submit a claim and receive up to $50 or 13,500 V-Bucks if approved. If you feel obligated to reward, there's still an option to make a claim on EpicLootBoxSettlement.com. So this is going to be one of these things where you have to start a claim.
I think the initial, anyone who purchased anything gets 1,000, and then they must be doing something to where based on the amount you purchased, then you can go above that. But I think the base is 1,000 V-Bucks.
Yes. So if you request a cash/digital payment and your claim does not exceed 20, does that say 25 or 25,000? $25, you may be awarded the entire amount of the claim in cash. If you request a cash payment and your claim exceeds $25, award, which will be capped at $25 plus 50% of the amount by which the claim exceeds $25, the maximum total of $50. Your payment may be reduced based on the amount of funds available to satisfy all claims. If you have requested V-Bucks, so you can, in your claim, you can request free V-Bucks. So, you can file online.
1,000 V-Bucks is $7.99, so that's kind of the base virtual dollar amount.
So now I've bought some stuff in Rocket League and Fortnite. I'm not going to documentation so must be provided for.
So you first of all, you give them your, cause I started filling out the form and then they said, go to the proof of purchase. And I've got so many Unreal Marketplace purchases from assets that I was down to 2019 and I gave up. You know, I don't know how many pages that was.
Because it's not worth $25.
The amount of time I'm spending scrolling through this is lost at the point that I've reached $8 worth of my time. So I figured it's done.
Yes. I wouldn't even know where to go to find these things. Green Man Cartoons, who I believe is our currently our sub leader, hitting us up with the 37-month tier one subscription. Green Man, thank you so much. Says, where are my V-Bucks? Well, I don't believe... is this a U.S. only? Yes, it is. So I'm sorry. If you do not reside in the United States, you are not eligible to participate in the settlement. So Green Man, you and your brother, I apologize. You are unable to unable to make this claim. I just because of this show, I might go back and try to find my thing, because now I bought some season passes, so I think that also counts.
I don't know. Yeah, because it comes with, because usually when you do those, you get V-Bucks. So I don't know.
But it says if between the months, between the dates of July 1st, 2015 and February 22nd, 2021, so like yesterday, played those games and exchanged in-game virtual currency for any in-game item or purchased in-game virtual currency for use within Fortnite or Rocket League, you might be, well,
sorry. Oh, dude, yeah. I just purchased a bunch because I messed up with one of my son's accounts. Like I accidentally credited, because I had two windows, because I had to like send him V-Bucks to his account, you know, for him to redeem. And yes. I pasted it in the wrong browser window because I had Chrome over here and then another one over here. And so it credited me. Then I had to go buy more to give him back his. So I'm going to get a refund. I demand it.
Will you fill this out? Because if
you, I will. I started filling out, but I just didn't get to the point. I've got to go find an easier place to find my purchase history that's yes. not, you know, all right. listing all my.
I'll try to find this out as well. I'll spend approximately 25 minutes.
Okay.
But
yeah, so, we kept it out of that.
Yep. So yeah, I mean, this will be another one of these like Equifax ones where that you'd like, you get 11 cents or free.
Yeah, I never did get anything from that.
No, of course yeah. not, because you and 300 million other people submitted a claim and there was no money left. No.
The stamp to send out the notice would have cost more than what you would have purchased. Or what
I did get good money on that AMD class action lawsuit. I got like $70 because I had two AMD processors, the AMD FX series processors.
I did get a check from that, so that one didn't work out.
And that showed up like multiple years later. I was like, what the heck? I was living at home at the time. My father was like, you got something from AMD. And I was like, AMD? I don't even have an AMD computer anymore. And I was like, oh my God, $62. Let's go get some ice cream or something. Like, this is fantastic. Years later. So, Head Neophyte says, I guarantee you on my Nintendo account has $100+ spent on Fortnite. Well, I mean, you better head to not a sponsor, but Epic lootboxsettlement.com. There'll be a link in the show notes. Hedney of it says five lawyers will spit $40 million and then 4 million people will split the remaining 500,000. Exactly. Yep. Congratulations. So that's how that's gonna work. Originally I thought this was a meme. It turns out it's not, it's real.
Yeah.
And this has to do with it being illegal for gambling in many municipalities and states. Now, let's be clear. A court did not rule on this. They settled. Epic and this group settled.
Because they don't want a court. You do not want a court ruling, because then that becomes precedent. And if you can settle outside of court,
yes,
it doesn't become precedent, and then they are not held to this in the future.
Yeah. And this will be a...
You're just saying, sorry for what we did in the past, but we're going to continue doing it. Have a nice day.
And for Epic, this was a good decision to make, because they're literally giving you like... They're giving you free virtual dollars that they can make unlimited
fake money to buy fake things in a fake game.
To be fair, Brian, it's not much different than our current U.S. monetary policy where we just print fake money too. So I mean, it's not so really that much different.
That's the thing too, is we went to, because my wife got her official name change and everything. So we went down to the bank and they're like, well, we don't tend to
Mrs. Aldridge
give out. Yes, so now she's Mrs. Aldridge. They were saying, well, we don't tend to give out, you know, debit cards anymore. We want people to go virtual. And they want you to add all your stuff. You know, I mean, a debit card is already virtual for the most part, but they're like, we don't even want to give you a debit card anymore. We want you to put it on Google Pay or Apple Pay.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm like, no. I'm not about putting it. You want me to put something more under Apple or Google? I'm getting away from these companies, and then you're trying to pull me back in. No.
We got a debit card. Nah, I paid at Walmart today with my debit card on my phone. Oh,
yeah, you're falling into the system. They'll be at your door next.
I did buy paintbrushes. I bought my Chinese paintbrushes at Walmart for $3.
Now go Google will track you. Say, oh, that's a nice purchase. Well,
that's fine.
Or Microsoft, whoever.
Yeah, who cares?
There's another one. There's another one that's not linked to the exact same lawsuit, but it has to do with the Epic Apple battle.
Okay.
And this is something where Apple tried to tried to subpoena Valve for their...
Oh, my God. So they're pulling everybody in.
they're trying to pull them in to get them linked in this lawsuit. So what they did is they subpoenaed to get the commercial data about Steam sales and ongoing operations over multiple years.
Oh my God. So
they're trying to pull them in, into that. And it's probably because, Apple has their 30%. Steam has the exact same 30%. So they probably want to say, hey, look, they're doing the exact same thing. You know, this is the industry standard or whatever. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with that. I don't think they were able to successfully do it. Let's see.
No, they were not.
They had meetings and various things. And wow. I don't think that they didn't really get anything out of it. So, but they are trying. I mean, Apple tried. This will be interesting to see where this actually ends up. I mean, it's still up in the air. They're both holding on strong, which I'm very surprised about.
Oh, Tim Sweeney is going to take this one.
All the way.
He's got enough money and resources. And
why not, time. Though? I mean, personally, because if you could win this, this would change the whole industry. Because if you can force and say, hey, you can't charge 30% when you control a monopoly, which you could say Apple controls a monopoly. They control half the phones and they lock them down incredibly tightly. Android, as we talked about it before, locks it down a little bit, but you have the ability to easily bypass those things. And so it's a little bit less of an issue because you could have an app that pops up, hey, run this update now, and then downloads an APK, which isn't optimal, but is possible. This will be interesting because if they can get it to where they can say, hey, you can't force us to pay 30% just to sell our game on a device that you're pretty much required to sell on because there's only two different types, really, this could really change all these places in them selling these products. Or open up the markets, kind of like with the browser. You brought up last week. The browser war made it to where Internet Explorer was no longer the top browser. And mm-hmm. I think that we're in a much better place now because it made them quit using their monopoly to push down a very mediocre and actually faulty product, forcing that down people's throats to where they realized, oh yeah, we did have a really crappy product. Here you mm-hmm. go. Let's just include, Chrome pretty much on it instead. It made it a much better system and a much more secure. And I think that we'll probably have something like this too, to where maybe they'll have alternate marketplaces where you can go purchase products on phones. That's probably where, if they did win, I think that's where this would end up.
Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting to say the least. I don't know if Brian, I'm not sure that we'll be here, but whenever these,
by the time it's settled.
I mean, you're talking about. I mean,
we could just say, years. Hey, if we really want to tie ourselves down, we could just put that we will not stop the show until this settlement is done.
You're not committing to that. I've made some stupid decisions in my life that will not be. I will not add that to the
all
list.
Right, that one for now.
This is a multi-year. If it goes all the way, now if there's some settlement made, that's different. But if this goes truly all the way, which will likely end up in the Supreme Court. You're talking about years from now,
and this would be interesting if they start bringing up monopoly, because that people they laugh at the thought, but with the phones and with internet that happened and it opened up, it's happened with the browsers, it's happened multiple times, and afterwards I think it was a beneficial thing. I think this would also be possible to happen, and it would be beneficial. I got something to show you. I just noticed something in front of me.
Hold on.
Here's my proof of purchase right here.
hold those up again without the codes on the back. Oh. What are those? $20 V-Bucks cards?
They're $31.
Oh, my God.
$32. $31.99.
Well, hold those up and smile for the thumbnail, please. All right. Perfect. Thank you very much. Oh, yeah, man. Yeah.
We're talking about this. I'm like, I know I bought V-Bucks and there's stupid cards from when I redeemed them sitting directly in front of my face.
I don't have anything.
I didn't even notice.
My dad. No. Oh, Oh, not a sponsor. And then, Halls,
I think that these went to buy V-Bucks as well. So there's another $25 that he got during Christmas. So
you ever seen Wayne's World?
Yes.
When your throat is sore, try Halls, the quick relief. So yeah, good stuff. All right, enough of this chicanery. I want to mention this real quick. If you haven't had a chance to watch it yet, and I'm not the biggest fan of NASA, but their Mars rover that landed this week is really cool. The coolest part of this, though, is the fact that they have stereo microphones on them, and they sent video back with the first audio ever from Mars, and it just sounds like, it just sounds like a barren wasteland with wind blowing. Very, very eerie and weird sounding.
I don't know what else they expected. It's a barren wasteland.
Yeah, I know, but it's just like, oh my God, that's like, that's sounds like Texas.
Well, they're probably expecting to hear some alien music somewhere in the distance. I mean, I don't know what they're expecting out of this.
So first sound running water report, windy. Yeah, it seems pretty accurate. There's no foliage to stop the wind. I thought that was pretty cool to watch all that go down.
And we do have a link. I just put that I wanted to discuss it, at least mention it. But we have a link to the full. There's like a stream that happened and everything. So if you want to go check that out, the landing and a lot of other things.
I noticed some interesting things about this, Brian. The NASA crew didn't seem to be quite so diverse, always pushing for diversity. They seem to be lacking, because this is a topic that tends to come up on this show a lot because of crazy video game hiring practices. NASA's policy there seemed to be not incredibly diverse, seemed to be a bunch of white people. Just saying.
Yeah, well, when you have to hire based on on qualifications of like a degree and things like that, you can't really say, well, we'll bend the rule on this one. The rocket may blow up on entry, but hey, you don't need your full degree. You check all the other boxes. You're all right.
I want to leave it there. I just want to make a point. Check it out. Speaking of making a point, Chronicles of Elyria, he's trying not to get his ass hammered in a court. Yeah, yeah.
So I think you should play the video first and then we can discuss some of the other, but this
to go back, this, Chronicles of Elyria is the game that is going to do, it's there's like four, five, four games, five games inside of the game. That is the game. There's a text-based game. Then there's a 2D game. Then there's a 3D game. Then there's the game. There's nothing been done. He's pissed away like $27 million. There's class action lawsuits. I know, crazy that we've talked about this. And now he's trying to save his ass, so he's released a bunch of videos. Let's watch the next installment of the Chronicles of Elyria Don't Sue Me Bro update.
Yes.
I like that. Don't Sue Me Bro. Maybe that's the show title.
Perfect.
Hey, all. It's Jeremy here from Soulbound Studios. Welcome to episode 3 of Inside Chronicles of Elyria.
Looks like the hostage situation is still...
We spoke about the adjustments we as a studio we're making, and how, for now, we're placing our time and resources into the domain...
If you see him blinking in certain order, we'll have to do some Morse code translation.
In this episode, we're going to talk more about how and why, and what the rest of 2021 looks like for Soulbound Studios. From the beginning, Chronicles of Elyria was designed to provide different player experiences depending upon your interests. While everyone who plays begins life in a settlement, many of you will go on to create your own. For those that do, COE seamlessly blends an MMORPG with a colony or settlement sim. You'll have both player and NPC citizens you'll have to care for.
Now, this looks cool.
Resources.
And this looks like it's in-game footage.
And changing conditions in which to respond to.
So this is something he has that was a piece of it.
You'll need to attract citizens with the necessary skills to your settlement.
You can see the fog around the city. It looks cool.
The only way to do that is to recruit them from other settlements.
Brutal frame rate.
If all goes well, you may find yourself in a position to contest a noble title and take ownership of a county, duchy, or kingdom.
Okay, that's neat.
COE incorporates mechanics typically found in grand strategy games. You'll be responsible for selling land to others, awarding titles, creating laws, managing trade agreements, and of course, defending your titles from enemies both foreign and domestic. So most importantly, you'll need to maintain a positive relationship with your allies, vassals, and liege, many or all of which may be other players. While the integrated colony sim and grand strategy mechanics are there as a layer on top of the MMORPG, we've always been passionate about ensuring their fun in their own right. The engagement created through player-run settlements and the conflict created through player-run domains is a key part of what makes COE more than a theme park or sandbox MMO, and we want to make sure we get it right. So we've long planned to test these mechanics through an isolated user experience called Kingdoms of Illyria, giving us an opportunity for early player feedback and iteration. And while we've explored options for using a simple web-based interface or something more robust for the front end, the back end has always been the same used for the rest of COE. This concept of same gameplay mechanics and server code, different user experience, is vital to our strategy going forward, and leads us to the next step in our roadmap toward completing Chronicles of Illyria. With that in mind, I'm pleased to reveal that Kingdoms of Illyria is moving from a test-only platform to a fully-fledged standalone product, which, being an existing backer reward for Chronicles of Illyria, is being provided free for all COE backers with an Illyrian pledge package or higher, regardless of whether you pledge your support through Kickstarter or our website. And I can't stress this enough. Development on Kingdoms of Illyria doesn't prevent development on COE. Quite the opposite. They're the same. All engineering work and design decisions feed directly into COE's development and is a necessary step in bringing both aspects of the game together. The systems we're creating in Kingdoms of Illyria will be integrated with COE later down the line, meaning this release provides an opportunity to experience part of Chronicles of Illyria now. Being built with a Unity front end and our proprietary back end, the Soulborn engine, it will include an offline experience as well as a set of persistent online worlds supporting up to 5,000 players on a server, each governing a settlement,
5,000 players. What is this,
Duchy
Atlas?
Or kingdom. Interestingly, yeah. Our need to use the same code and mechanics as the rest of Chronicles of Illyria leads to some exciting and unique design opportunities, which helps Kingdoms stand apart from the crowd. First, in Kingdoms of Illyria, one of the citizens is you. You'll navigate your player's citizen around your settlement and world map to gather resources, interact with buildings and other citizens, sign agreements with neighboring aristocrats, and more. This is an especially dangerous element of the game, because whether your player citizen dies in a hunting accident, en route to another settlement, or stabbed in the back at a local tavern, if your player citizen dies and you don't have an heir, your game's over and you'll need to start again. Second, although citizens of your settlement are all NPCs in Kingdoms, you won't be able to click on a resource or other target and expect them to follow your instructions. You'll need to entice them by way of contracts. If the citizens don't like your offer, or simply don't like you, they won't help. Finally, Kingdoms doesn't give you instant access to information. Whether you're talking about the opinions, inventory, or attributes of NPCs, or the layout and population of other settlements and domains, if you want information, you'll have to work for it. We'll talk more about the mechanics for gaining information, as well as other design topics, in greater detail in future design blogs. But let's talk about the Kingdoms roadmap for a moment. Kingdoms of Illyria is being released in four stages. The first stage, which is planned for release late this year, consists solely of the colony sim and settlement management mechanics. The focus will be on keeping your citizens alive and happy as you grow from a hamlet to a large, capital-sized settlement. In this mode, you can start, stop, fast forward, or restart a new game whenever you want on procedurally generated maps made up of a subset of the COE starting biomes. Additionally, we know there will be four opportunities to alpha test this stage of development, the first of which is coming up in just a few months. More information is being provided on the second, third, and fourth stages of development in an accompanying blog post. Our intention when we started Soulbound Studios was to enrich people's lives, developing experiences that fuel imagination and provide accessible, engaging, and meaningful interaction through entertainment and technology. And while it's true we fell down last year, we've picked ourselves up, have a plan in place for the future, and myself, as well as our former lead designer, lead 3D artist, sound engineer, and composer, are passionately moving forward. Future episodes of Inside Chronicles of Illyria will, for now, be focused entirely on discussing and demonstrating the status of Kingdoms. And those upcoming design journals we keep mentioning will contain more info on what to expect from Kingdoms of Illyria and its relationship to COE. So make sure to follow along with development in our upcoming design blogs. And of course, stay tuned for our next episode of Inside Chronicles of Illyria. As always, if you have questions or feedback on these videos...
All right, I've heard all I need to hear. So they're releasing another game, a whole new game. Is that what I'm understanding? Yeah. Kingdoms of Illyria?
So kind of like that one game that was similar where... Remember that game I used to talk about that was super hardcore and they released a game that had just a ton of grind to it, but it was a piece of the whole game. The whole game just recently shut down. I'm trying to remember the name off of it
I have no idea what you're talking about.
But there was a big game that they did an MMO. They released it years later.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I'll find
that. And then the MMO just recently announced that they were shutting down, but they're keeping that original piece. No. I'll look up in my library and see MMO. But yeah, so they Life is Futile.
Yes,
Life is Futile did something similar where they did a kind of a mini game. So there's Life is Futile MMO, and there's Life is Futile Your Own. Your Own was a piece of Life is Futile because it's a very similar game to Chronicles of Valyria, where there was like all this thing for claiming land and doing all these big grand things. That didn't work out very well. People didn't like it. Chronicles of Valyria was doing the exact same thing, to where they have a place where you go when you're getting your land, and you know there's an interface for managing that. Life is Futile had another one that was exactly like that, to where it was how you kind of built your town. It was another interface where it took you to a different view, and you were able to kind of build the town and do all that stuff. These guys, this was the interface for managing land, so they're releasing that as its own standalone product, so they get something out the door, and they have something to show. Hey, we did make something, but it was just one piece of everything. Now, I'm assuming after he puts this out, then they'll move on to some other piece that they'll then release. Or, you know, if this will get him out of the lawsuit, it may be the last thing that we see. It's kind of hard to say where they go.
Yeah. Yeah, it is hard to say. So they're essentially releasing a Civ Rev version of Chrono. That's what Kingdoms of Valyria is. I mean, it's
yes.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it is. It's a nation builder, essentially.
Yes.
It's not out yet. We didn't get a date when it will be out. It will be available to anybody that was backed Chronicles of Valyria soon, but it's not there yet. So, JD brings up an interesting point in chat and says, what is it with some of these games wanting huge server pops at the start? I have no idea, JD. It's clearly,
I think it's people ignorance. Not realizing that there, because there are games that, for instance, Valheim, which we'll be talking about in a little bit, they made a game and they weren't expecting huge, you know, it wasn't built for huge numbers, but that took off like crazy. I think most of these people that come into this think, oh, well, we're just going to take off. You know, you can have all these people playing initially. No, most games when they first start have very few, you know, sometimes you'll get a quick bang in the beginning, you know, and then it fizzles out. But most of the games that end up making it start out slowly and build up over time. They don't start out with 5,000 concurrents or, you know, 500,000 concurrents. Like some games do. So I think that people just don't understand.
Yeah.
Very few games take off, and there's not a magic formula for making that happen, because even some AAA studios put out games that barely can fill lobbies.
Lawbreakers. Yes.
Yes.
It has happened in the past.
Us and two other people, if I remember correctly, when we went and played it.
It's a small group. Well, let's talk about Valheim here for a second. I tasked you, Brian, you're not a super busy man, with a full report. Did you have a chance to play?
Yes, I did. So I installed it and I did play.
How did you play? Single player, small group?
I actually set up a server for us. Uh-huh. So we have an infection server that's running.
Oh, okay.
And so I set that up. So I know Falcon had jumped in there. I ran around and was playing on that. But if you want to play with some other people, I encourage you to come and jump on our server and play. I don't know if it has a 10-person limit or not, or if it's, you know, what it is exactly. But it was definitely ran smooth. The survival mechanics are good. They have, you know, kind of a help system. It takes you through. It works good. Works really well. And I like the fact that it kind of unlocks and grows as you play, in somewhat more of a natural way than something like Ark does. I mean, Ark does kind of, but when you have all these other people around you that are so far advanced, as we found out, you know, they hand you a wolf and now all of a sudden you're 10 times farther along than you were before. I like this, how it kind of unlocks progression. So what they do is you have a circle of stones that are each the different objectives that you could have to complete to kind of get to the final boss or whatever, you know, whatever happens at the end. So you start out with the first stone and kind of do all the things necessary. And each time you complete one, it gets more and more difficult. So that's how they're kind of limiting the difficulty level based on what you've completed at that point. How that works in multiplayer, I'm not 100% sure. So it'd be interesting to see as multiple people log in how that changes. But the server was easy to set up, much easier than the last couple big games that people know about.
Yeah, you had to build one.
that's for some reason didn't run. But this one, I was able to get a server up, and he says resources don't respawn. So that might be an issue for multiplayer.
I haven't played it yet. I actually haven't purchased it yet. I'm not sure I'm going to. I might at some point.
I've played 41 minutes so far of it.
Okay.
That's about the time I played.
Well, you are just one of the 3 million people that have purchased the game so far. They had an all-time peak 2 days ago at 502,000 concurrent players, which is freaking crazy high. There's 400,000, excuse me, the 24-hour peak is 400,000, and there's 300,000 people playing right now, which puts this the second most played game on Steam right now. Above Dota, above Rust, above Apex, above Destiny, above TF2, above Rocket League, GTA, Ark, Stardew. The only thing higher right now is CSGO, which it almost always is, has got almost 500,000 people playing. Valheim's got damn near 250,000 people playing. And the game is $19. It's got 90,000 reviews on Steam with a 95% positivity rate. I don't know what to say. I mean, obviously the game is good. I can't speak to it. Green Man says he's got 42 hours in the game.
I got 42 minutes. He's got 42 hours. Here we go.
It's a bit of time. So everything seems to be going good with that. I did find it. There was an interesting conversation going on in our Discord this week, Brian, around Valheim. Our friend Donnie posted something that I found very interesting. He said, Valheim was made in Unity. That means two of the best open world sandbox games I've ever played were made in that engine. He says 7 Days to Die and Valheim being the other one. But Rust is also made in Unity, which is a very popular game. So that I found that to be very interesting, Brian, because, you know, obviously Unreal is the kind of the hot thing to be talking about and is, I think, probably the superior engine.
It depends on what you're doing for different things. And also you got to think of the time when Unreal kind of really started to become feature rich. Unity has been more feature rich for a longer period of time. So a lot of these games that were made a little while ago, more likely were made in Unity. I think Unreal hasn't become the dominant engine until recently. So there are aspects of Unity that are good or better. When it comes to ease of, I hear that program, I haven't done it, but I hear programming in Unity is a little bit simpler than it is in Unreal. But I think there are some other issues you would run into. Green Man points out that the voxel stuff, which is kind of like what 7 Days to Die and, you know, the digging system where you can actually dig into the earth and it actually terraforms and all that. That is something that is better in that type of game. That's probably why, you know, they would have picked this engine because voxels work better in Unity.
I just found it to be, I hadn't thought about that till Donnie posted that some of, you know, and obviously I haven't played Valheim yet, but I played plenty of Rust and I played a boatload of 7 Days to Die, and those two games are on Unity, and this new hot item is on Unity as well. So, you know, for everybody that kind of says, you know, hey, Unreal is the king and Unity is kind of this, you know, preschool engine over here that, you know, people make mobile games on. Well, yes, there are plenty of popular mobile games that are made on Unity. I would have to agree with Donnie that some of my favorite survival games are, in fact, on Unity, not on Unreal. So I found that an interesting thing to bring up, and I'm glad he did because I hadn't thought about it like that.
One thing, too, is the marketplace for Unity has been around for a long time. Unreal's marketplace has been very barren up until the past year or two. You know, they've really started to expand that and do all the things with giving away the assets. Uh, they're, they're there are tons more, at least a year ago, there were ton more assets on the Unity store than on the Unreal store. Now, the quality level of the assets is quite a bit lower at times on the Unity store, but there was a lot more. So if you were getting started in it, you had a much easier time because you had a lot of things to pick from. In Unreal, they didn't. Now they do. They have a lot of stuff to pick from now, but that's a very recent thing. But if you've been developing a game for a couple of years, that didn't help you back then. So I think that that's starting to change to where they're very even. They're different, and I think they're necessarily different. But I think at some point, you know, you can decide later which one is dominant. But I think right now they're about neck and neck as far as which is the better engine. There's benefits of both.
Greenman says, plus all the Unity survivals look different. Most of the Unreal survival games look the same. It is pretty interesting.
They all go from the survival game kit.
It is pretty interesting that when you look at a game like, look at what 7 Days to Die was even 2 years ago, and then contrast that with Rust, which is a very pretty game. Those are on the same engine. So, and Saul says, I forgot Tarkov is based on Unity too. Totally forgot about Tarkov. So, Donnie, thank you for bringing that point up in the Discord. I hadn't even thought about that, but
And PH points out Unity does a lot better on mobile.
Oh yeah,
we're making the very Unity, simple mobile games and the 2D graphics.
Unity I've seen does that much splash better screen on games from time to time. Very cool to see. Valheim is doing good stuff, and actually, there's another article here that they are getting a first person mod. So is this a
it's a user created mod.
It's a user created mod. Okay. Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. So it's a mod, but the people I've seen a lot of articles and people are saying that it looks really good in first person. So you just put this in and it actually does first person, and that looks like it's built in to do first person.
Very cool. There'll be a link in the show notes where you can go ahead and get that for Valheim. Again, on sale. Well, not on sale, but it is available to buy. Is part of early access for $19.99, 84,000 positive reviews. 84,000 reviews. 96% of them are positive. I wonder if this is Brian, this game's been out 21 days. I wonder if this is the outside of a game like Counter-Strike or something like that that's brand new. This must be the fastest growing reviewed indie game probably ever. I can't think of a game that has garnered 85,000 positive reviews, 3 million sales, and 500,000 concurrent players based off of nothing. Now you want to say like Red Dead, and that's different. I'm talking about a game that it literally came out of nowhere. It wasn't even on anybody's radar. It just popped up one day. And in 21 days, it went from, how do you pronounce this, to 3 million sales. It's pretty
incredible. Well, and I think this is something that shows people are searching for a good survival game that's not, and it doesn't have to be hardcore in the fact that like it's online and you know you die every 2 seconds. This is something that I think that shows people really still there's hunger out there for survival games. But I mean, look at this, the thing that just grew the most is a survival game. People want a survival game. How long has it been since we've got a really good survival game?
Yeah, I mean, obviously our audience is asking for it. You know, we've got about 85,000 people here watching the show. They're all hyped and excited about that. Our audience is growing leaps and bounds thanks to survival gaming. It's not the same, six people in chat every single week.
Hey, and if you're just enjoying chat, you can jump in with us.
Krennic says, "What about Fall Guys?" Yes, that is Unreal as well. But that kind of makes
sense. Fall Guys is Unity.
Unity. Yeah, that kind of makes sense.
So, right. Hey, do we want to go and announce the game giveaway here really quick?
Yes, we are running very far behind.
Yes, I figured before we get going too far here. So put exclamation point giveaway in chat, and this will be a 60-point raffle. And I'm giving away, actually, this one is in three pieces. So I'm giving away a game called Outward with a DLC called Outward, the Soroborians, and then the soundtrack for it. So the total for this is it's like 40 or 60. It's a decent amount. $62.97 is what it normally goes for. It's three parts to it. But if you're interested in that exclamation point giveaway in chat, and then we'll give this away here before the end of the show. I'll put links to all three of the things if people want to check them out.
Let's real quickly show a trailer for an Arma 3 DLC pack that's coming out. It's called Art of War. It's a charity pack, and they've produced a little video here showing some of the things and what all is going to be in this charity pack, where 100% of the proceeds are charity. So it's mostly cosmetic things, some artwork, some new things, some new props, and then a new single player mission. And 100% of the proceeds are going to the International Committee of Red Cross, which is not to be confused with the American Red Cross. Two completely different things. They're giving away 100% of the proceeds for that. You can go ahead and get that. It is a whopping... $1.99.
I just bought it, but people may ask, well, why would I get that? Because it looked like the walls were covered with artwork done by community and stuff like that. Yeah. But what you're purchasing are assets for that are used in mods. That's the main reason that people buy these sort of things, is because the people then will use them, because they put in new assets in these things. There's new things that aren't available in any of the other pieces. Then when people make custom mods or make custom maps, they add these things in there. And if you don't have that DLC, you don't have the ability to play that map.
Yes.
So that's one reason. Even if you pay the $1.99 just to get it, that opens up the ability, if you do any kind of Arma playing with mods, to access those maps.
So it's available at three different prices, $1.99, $4.99, and $9.99. It's the same thing for all three. It's just the different level of donation that you'd be making to this group. So you can check that out. There will be a link in the show notes to the Steam page for the Arma 3 Art of the War charity pack. All right. Cool. Let's see. What else do we have here? Let's try to get some of our more important stuff out of the way.
All right. We've got a couple things here. We could go through. First of all, you want to do the Rust video really quick here? It's a Shadowfrax video, but we could do the Rust one and then jump into a couple of update patch notes.
Okay. Yeah, let's do that. So let's take a look at what's going on in the wonderful world of Rust with our friend, Mr. Shadowfrax.
Greetings, survivors and friends. Shadowfrax back at it again with your weekly delivery of freshly baked Rust development news, including jumpsuits, elevators, and family sharing news. But first, make sure you're subscribed so I can deliver you stuff like this every week. So today, it looks like soon you'll be able to take a new mini game for a spin down at the bandit camp. Yes, it's been a long time coming, but in the near future, not all bandits here will have two arms, if you know what I mean. And finally, you'll have a use for all those piles of spare scrap you have just lying around. Currently, slot machines can be spawned in with spawn slot machine. As of speaking these words, they're not in place anywhere at the camp, but I imagine they'll end up somewhere in the dredge. Using one works like this. First, you mount it. Insert some scrap up to a maximum of 1,000, which is for your protection, trust me, and then simply press E to pull the arm. Each spin sets you back 10 scrap, and any winnings will go into a separate section. Most of the symbols on the reels are recognizable items from the game, and so you know the odds you're up against. A sign with all the winning combos will constantly be staring you in the face. Potentially, you could win big and turn 10 scrap into 6,000. Potentially. But you can also win 3 scrap for each hammer and 5 scrap for each tech trash symbol you manage to spin. Oh, and you get 100% comfort whilst using one. cashback. Everything about this is, of course, subject to change. But I imagine they'll be in the main game with the next forced wipe on March the 4th. Talking of to which, we've just finished the fifth round of drops, where yours truly got his Pyrox skin. Thanks, Facepunch. And quite a few of you did too. As nice as it is having all these free skins being given out in quick succession, it seems that from now on there will be only one round of drops per month, with the next lot happening with the Forced Whip on March the 4th and lasting for a one-week period, just like the others. No confirmation yet on who is next, though. Another new item that just seems to have appeared on the staging branch this week is a Cobalt Space Center jumpsuit in an attractive rusty red color, perfect for blending in with tall tundra grasses or next to the sphere tank. Stealth. It seems at present to be a reskin of the bone armor. Things that indicate this being that the icon for it is bone armor and it has the same stats. However, you can wear boots and gloves with it, so time will tell. In other changes, the Lunar New Year content's now been disabled with an optional patch. There was a fix to block players being able to get inside the drone marketplace, you sneaky, sneaky bunch. And another couple of fixes should see an end to being able to stack RF broadcasters and the constant spamming of the SOS frequency from the oil rigs.
Yes, but pages still say slant instead of silent.
We've spoken about this, and you need to be patient. The team are very busy with jumpsuits and slot machines and stuff.
Don't suppose you've got anything for constipation, though, have you?
Well, pie. Apart from that, road sign gloves are now skinnable. Finally! And, oh yes, family sharing of rust is now disabled for the foreseeable future. Now, this is a hot topic, so I expect to see a lot of comments about it down below. You could say there's a slight connection between family share and cheating, for instance. But I'm sure most of you use it in a completely legitimate and above-board way. What do you think of this move? Let me know. In works in progress, there have been a lot more commits re-AI, especially work on junk pile scientists. There were a couple of new commits on gestures, so hopefully we'll get some kind of easy-to-use system for those soon, and the work cart and underground train tunnel network is sliding along nicely. And although we don't have anything to say when exactly it will be with us yet, I have managed to snaffle some pictures of the new associated elevator shafts, presumably for ingress to and egress from the system. As you can see, as well as a central elevator, there are also stairs and even what looks like a ramp. Plus, they go pretty deep, so I don't know how far underground this will end up being. Just when you thought subterranean travel would be a lot safer, though, there's also mention in the commits this week of destroyable barricades on the tracks and, oh great, the work cart's having its protective glass removed. Leave me a like and subscribe so I can keep you firmly up to date. Join me on Twitch for regular streams, Twitter, Facebook, Discord, and my Steam group to stay up to date with my content. Plus, you can support me on Patreon or buy some very sexy merch over on Teespring. All the links are down below. I shall catch you all soon, but in the meantime, keep calm and stay rusty. Cheerio.
All right, thanks to our friend Shadowfrax for bringing us that update there. Slot, now, you want to talk about real gambling, Brian. I mean, there's a literal slot machine in Rust. So, I mean, maybe it's time for, maybe this is my time to shine. Maybe I could get our friend Saul Greatman, the best attorney in the land, to let's class action lawsuit Rust for having literal gambling. How about that?
I know. You tell him that it's triggering your addictions and you're just
I actually did think about you. That actually sounds pretty. I would go in there and play a slot machine. That sounds like fun.
I know.
Well, all right. So
that is Rust. You know, some interesting things in there. They are still working on it. Do you care what we talk about after this?
No, I'm good.
Notes we go to. All right, let's go ahead and do Arc here really quick. There's only two patches that happened this past week. First of all, 322.15 was on the 18th. You can no longer ride an unconscious stego. You can't get onto an unconscious stego. That has been fixed. Fixed various map issues related to volumes and borders. And zip lines will now check to see whether a character can actually fit into a space before allowing them to attach to the zip line. So that has changed. And then 323.6, and this was on the 23rd. The Genesis Chronicles 6 or 7, actually, that's notes 16 through 20, been added to the Tech Federation Glove Cosmetic, or added along with the Tech Federation Glove Cosmetic. And what they usually do on these is the Chronicle things, as you approach release, they start adding some of these things into the main map, some of the things that are in the next expansion. Additional metrics for transfer and server connection issues, and then cryopods now display more information regarding the creature's color, region, and mutation. So that brings us current.
All right.
Not a huge set of patches.
No, nothing crazy there. Let's take a look at Osiris New Dawn, Brian. We've got some things
from
that.
This is that one that they died for about a year. I mean, nothing was happening for a year. They got the rights back to their game, and now all of a sudden they're putting out a lot of content.
So we've got two videos here. One is a new map, I believe, or not, it's part of the, it's
Frozen Worlds and Rise of the Machines is the first one.
Yes.
So first of all, they're adding in here the droid AI system that is new in this, and they show a number of those. Do you want to play the video really quick, and then they'll show off some of those, and then there's another video with another new object.
All right, let's take a look. Get us right into it.
You can see those other robots that are to the side. Those are the security units. So that's the new AI. It's the Osiris Mission Security Unit, or OMSU, I think is what they're calling them.
Okay.
Then they have these ones. I think these are the Osiris Mission Mining Assistants, or something similar. Yeah, so they go around and help you do things on the various planets for mining and things. So you can have those bots. These bots will go out and seek out minerals, and they'll continuously mine the whole time.
It's a little StarCraft going on there.
Yeah.
Vespian gas at critical levels.
And I think they had some of these things in here before, but they've now put them on the new AI system, so they should work a little bit better.
Yeah, very, very StarCrafty from my recollection.
Yeah. And this is all new stuff. As we had said before, they went a year without any updates, and then they came back with like a few patches, you know, for bug fixes, and now it's been content. So this next video is more of a location. So this is the map, I think, on this other video called Lutari, or I assume
Lutari.
Who knows?
Who cares?
We thought Islands was Wylands, and
it still is in my book.
Yeah.
That game looks pretty.
Yeah, it's an awesome game. It's just that the development died on it for a long time.
Is there anybody playing it right now is the real question. There's 100 people playing.
There you go.
Medical assistance immediately. Damn. I like the sound. Obviously, you're on a planet, so there's no oxygen.
Yeah.
The sounds are very muffled and muted. It's a very interesting.
They did a really good job with the environment. The graphics are really nice. They did a good job.
This game looks pretty scary. Not scary, but like these monsters are pretty legit. It's like a big old spider looking thing.
One thing is, I think that they're going to continue to develop this pretty heavily. So, I mean, if you are interested, I don't know if they're offering a kind of a discount, but if you do see it on sale, it might be worth getting now. I don't know if they're going to do any. If it isn't, if the price is low, it might be worth getting it because they're definitely putting a lot of work into it now.
It is, it's $25, which I wouldn't say that's not.
But I would wait, you know, if you see it on sale. I'm sure they'll be trying to get players by putting it on every single Steam sale that happens.
Yeah, I mean, if I had $25, I'd probably buy Valheim before I buy this, just because it seems to be a little bit further along the road. But, I mean, they're working on it, you know, a little bit late, but they're working on it, and we've seen some pretty frequent updates from them the past couple weeks, no?
Yes. Yeah, they've been putting out almost every single week every 2 weeks putting out a decent size update. I think they were working on things in the background for a while this settlement was happening. And now they're putting it all out there. So I think we'll be seeing a lot of cool content continuing to come out from this company. So definitely they before all that stuff happened, they had a pretty good reputation. Everything was going good. And then they went just dead for a long time. That kind of turned everyone against them.
Yes. Well, that's what it'll do when you buy a game that's in early access and then you shut everything down. That's what will happen. Let's talk about CD Projekt Red for just a minute here. Yes, I know I was wrong a couple weeks ago. I said that the hack wasn't real. Well, would you look at that? It is. At least parts of it are. I'm still staying by this thing that it's not as bad as it seems. But CD Projekt Red has been issuing DMCA takedowns on tweets. People that are screenshotting, I believe the whole file dump was on Mega, which was game.com's website. But people have been screenshotting like the some of the source code, the hierarchy of the directories, folder names, file names, and because these are, you know, copyrighted stolen content, they've been able to issue those DMCA takedowns, and those Twitter users have had their accounts either suspended or deleted. The description of the infringement is illegally obtained source code of the Witcher card game posted without authorization, not intended to be released to the public. The DMCA takedown notice read. They got their tweet taken down, and yeah, that's that. So they are, they're continuing with this. I still like the fact that they, you know, kind of said F you to the hackers. I will note that they have not tweeted at all to anything. Like, they have not, like, they put it out that update that we read a couple weeks ago, and it's been totally radio silence, which I guess, you know, makes sense. You know, you don't want to be like,
I mean, you really don't want to poke at the bear either, because there was, who knows what personal communications and things in there, and they're probably happy that right now, as of now, things are fairly silent. You know, whatever sales supposedly happened. But you haven't really heard anything of it up to this point. It's not like someone's doing a dump of embarrassing emails or statements from employees.
Exactly. They're
hoping won't happen.
Well, they claimed that there was not any personnel information in those files.
But that note from the people who did the hack claimed that there supposedly was.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, you know? I guess.
It depends who you believe.
Yeah, well, I mean, CD Projekt Red has never done me wrong, like not show up to their PAX party in Seattle.
You had a great time that night.
I had a time. I will say this for the record. If they would have showed up, that evening would have ended very differently, because we would not have gotten in and out.
That is true. That is true. All right.
I'm just saying.
Let's go ahead. Okay, here's something that's not really an update, but we may want to save this for next week. There's one that a developer or a lead designer for a game that's going to be coming out. Do you want to talk about it now, or do you want to hold on to it next week?
That's fine. We're good.
All right. So there was Hogwarts Legacy. People tease me about liking Harry Potter. But Hogwarts Legacy's lead designer has a YouTube channel where he makes videos kind of mocking social justice and all that. They call him an anti-social justice YouTuber. And of course, PC Gamer and everyone else is horrified, saying he's a incredibly right-wing, horrible person, and he's transphobic and should not be working for any company. But, you know, the thing is, he's not said that, you know, if you'll read the comments on a lot of these Twitter things, people are like, well, I went and looked at his channel, and he seems like he's kind of middle, you know, just like mocking fringe people on both sides. But of course, if you're not all out on one side, then you're the devil. So this is something where there's been a lot of, they're trying to cancel him. And then you have a lot of people, if you read through the tweets saying, you know, this is exactly what he's talking about. This whole cancel culture of, if you don't agree with me 100%, you know, you don't have the right to speak. And this guy, from looking at his things, he doesn't seem to be a crazy, you know, he has opinions, you know, and he posts videos on them, but I don't think that should make him not allowed to work for a company, in tech, which is pretty much what it's come down to nowadays.
But let me ask you this without getting too crazy far into this. How is this any different than when, you look at a reporter for PC Gamer or anybody else, you go to their Twitter and it says, author of PC Gamer, bada, bada, bada. Tweets are not a represent. Tweets are my own, not a representation of my company.
And then
they
sit there and bash 50% of the country constantly.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So how is this any different?
It's not. Well, it's, but you're not on the SJW woke side. Is
gotcha.
The problem.
Okay.
If he were SJW woke, he's not on the proper side. That's
he's not woke enough. Okay. I understand.
He's not woke. He mocks woke. And so, but he does, you know, he does videos like it's okay to be a gamer. you know, he mocks cultural appropriation. You know, he just mocks all the things that people scream about on the internet.
Looks like he's got a patron.
He talks about thought crimes. You know, he's a guy who's not, I wouldn't say he's super conservative, but he is anti-SJW. And so,
Patreon.
Of course.
Let's see if that's any.
You're looking at his Patreon?
I'm looking for it right now because I want to see if anybody's subscribing to it.
So, yeah. So this guy, this has been a big thing that's happening. We'll have a link to it if you want to go through and read, maybe follow some of the different tweet threads that have been happening, Twitter threads. But a lot of people are jumping on this because I don't know if people realize that there's a big anti J.K. Rowling, who's the person who wrote Harry Potter, right now, because she's a feminist, which is weird that SJWs and feminists are starting to hate each other, is because she's a feminist and she says that being a woman is something that should be special, you know, and then she made comments about being trans.
Hold on.
And, you know, what that means.
Hold on a second here. Did you look at this guy's YouTube channel?
No. I looked at some of the topics.
His last video was 2 years ago.
But he didn't think the right things 2 years ago.
This article came out 2 days ago. His last video was freaking March 11th.
So he had one video 2 years ago. The rest of them are all 3 years and older.
His last video was March 11th, 2018. It has 9,000 views.
Yes. But he should lose his job.
Hold on, I gotta get her pronouns off of her Twitter. Is this she, they at PC Gamer who wrote this article, Natalie Clayton? Is she out of her damn mind? Why would you write an article about a dormant YouTube channel?
All is that you're a gonna serious do is question. I mean, she works for PC Gamer writing articles.
But this is all this is. Gonna, is out of her this mind. Guy hasn't made a video since March of 20. It's almost been 3 years since he's made a video.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it doesn't matter. They go back in your past. If you said something, there's people that have said something 15 years ago and they will demand that you get fired for it.
This guy is probably going to have a huge resurgence on YouTube.
Oh, yeah. The thing is, if you go look at the comments, everybody is bashing the article and bashing, saying you didn't even like look at what he does. People are
making comments. He doesn't do anything.
So the first comment, literal cancel culture. The guy leans a bit right on something. That's it. They're very clear the gaming journalism has a massive bias and uses its power to silence, cancel people who have done nothing wrong. That's the top comment. You're telling me PC Gamer is so out of touch with the average gamer in America? I don't think they realize that most people are middle of the road. They're not extremes like them. Like what we see when we go to PAX, that is the extreme.
Thank God.
I mean, you remember the things that we see when we go to PAX.
Yeah.
What happens at PAX stays at PAX. But, you know, it is ridiculous there to where if we can't even say our political opinions in the building at PAX without risk of possibly being threatened, you know, people attacking us, things like that, versus this. I mean, you're looking at somebody's YouTube videos from 3+ years ago, which are middle of the road, and you're demanding he be fired from a company for it. The world is insane.
Let me see if he's tweeted. No, he hasn't tweeted since this article came out. Well, that's very interesting.
Here's people saying that said they made comments on this article that were not anything ridiculous. And they're getting removed. So PC Gamer is highly filtering these as well. If there's anything negative, they are deleting the comments. you know, people saying, interesting what views get you labeled far right these days. You know, people make comments about what they're seeing on there. Stop advocating for cancel culture. This article is misguided and wrong. His videos were professional and civil. I'm just reading them. I'm not cherry picking. I'm not cherry picking any of these. I'm reading directly down the line. These are comment.
Does nobody say the videos are 3 years old? Does that not come up in any of these comments?
I haven't seen that yet.
Here's one guy. One guy posted about it. He said, so the YouTube channel is inactive for 3 years. Yet some Liam Rosberg dude for some random YouTube channel spent X days browsing through it to make a video summary of it. Really? Almost
every single comment on here is bashing PC Gamer for what they're saying.
Of course, Brian. And here's the worst part. PC Gamer is the best.
They think that they're dominant. They're Kotaku, the best. You know, what's the point of even going there and commenting?
They're the best of the world. PC Gamer is light years ahead of everybody else.
Except for Massively OP.
They don't count. They're on a different mainstream video game sites, which there are very few of. PC Gamer is the best, and that's still the garbage coming out of them. Unbelievable.
Yeah. So anyways, I just thought this was interesting. I saw it and I went and looked at what things I was expecting. Oh, is he going to be ever written crazy things? No, there are things that, you know, I'd be to the right of. I'd be to the right of probably some of the things that he feels. Should I be canceled?
I'm going to cancel you right now. If you don't be careful, I'm going to close our peer-to-peer connection. You'll be real canceled. That's crazy. I cannot believe that they would write a hit piece on a three-year dormant YouTube channel. I figured you'd appreciate this.
Just the ridiculousness of what they're trying to...
Oh, boy.
To cancel this person on. And this is just some stupid person who writes for PC Gamer who's all...
Excuse me.
Oh, you work for... J.K. Rowling, oh, you are such a hateful bigot. And you made YouTube videos? You are a hateful bigot.
It's a her. It's her / they. Get it right, you bigot.
Okay, well.
Wow.
Well, and then you had the person from Star Wars who got canceled for writing beep, bop, boop on their profile.
Yeah.
They got canceled for writing beep, bop, boop. And they got fired.
Yes, yes. You're talking about Gina Carano.
Are we stupid? Have we become? Twitter did a correction for a company that wrote the actual birth, what the person was born as, and they got censored and corrected in their tweet by Twitter, because it was a medical place that actually wrote what their biological sex was, which is no longer allowed. I mean, it just the place has gone insane. Anyways, we don't need to go off on that. We're at the last 10 minutes of the show. We don't need to
subscribe. star.com/infectionpodcast
before
gab.com/infectionpodcast. If we get banned, infectionpodcast.com/live. Yeah, I mean, it's just at this point, just who knows what's going to happen.
Who knows where we're going?
Exactly.
All right.
Well, I originally saw that title and I was like, I don't really want to talk about this. I'm glad you brought it up. That is probably the best story we've had on the show today. So thank you very much, sir.
Through it. I was just like, this is the stupidest thing that I have.
But the fact that I cannot wrap my head around that it's a 3-year dormant YouTube channel. That is unfathomable that somebody would write. I bet you the girl that wrote it didn't even look at that.
No, she doesn't. I mean, she doesn't care. She's going for the clicks. And now the thing is, do you think PC Gamer will look at the fact that almost every single, except for one person who commented on the article, was saying that PC Gamer was wrong? Do you think that they will take into account that whatsoever in future?
Because it gets good engagement, and that's all that matters.
When people are laughing at you and saying you're the problem, engagement. It just does engagement.
It is. 100%. It's engagement. Like that's all they care about.
Yeah. It's stupid.
Yeah, I agree. 100%. So.
All right. Well, let's move on to a much happier topic, something that I know that brings joy to your heart. How about we talk about some No Man's Sky? I know you love No Man's Sky.
It's my Sanford and Son heart attack. Oh!
My heart. Don't fail me now. So they had a couple updates. First of all, they have one called Companions that they did this version 3.2. They have a video for this. So if you want to play that really quick, and then they actually show some of the companions in game that you can get.
Let's take a look. Oh. Oh, it's like a little...
Arc, this is the Arc 2.0.
Oh, it's like a little dog-looking thing. But it's got grenades or health on the back of it.
Probably carrying something for you that you can use. And you look at these big things you can ride. I assume you can ride.
Oh, man.
All kinds of pets you can get. Multiplayer that now works correctly. Oh, there you go. We got mount.
Interesting. Was that a big space worm or something?
I don't know. Yeah.
It's an Alaskan bullworm. Fortnite's gonna sue them for that dance.
Just wait till Epic actually like patents emotes or something where you can't even dance in a game anymore.
Firebomb says, sorry Nick, this game looks all right. I kind of want to play this. Yeah, you know, honestly, every time we watch these videos, I kind of feel the same way. I mean, it really does look like a good game.
They definitely have fixed a lot of it, and you know, this, they've got the companions that you can. So I'm going to read their little thing that they say about the infinite and varied creatures you find roaming the universe can now be tamed and adopted. Because remember, these are all like random. It does random generation of a lot of these things. So who knows what kind of things you can find. Once bonded to you, your new friend can be summoned anywhere, even aboard your spaceship. Or the space anomaly, I'm sorry.
All right. I'm going to make a statement right here on the show.
Yes.
I've got a couple days off next week.
Mm-hmm.
So, in not next Tuesday show, but the Tuesday mm-hmm. after, I will play No Man's Sky, and I will report back to the show.
Okay, that'll work.
I've got a couple.
See
days
what you
off.
Think. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised. Plus, now they have breeding, kind of like Ark, where it because you know these are random. But if you wanted to kind of customize and make your own creature. You can find two different creatures, breed them, and then you'll have some sort of variation. You'll have, you know, some traits and you know various visuals from the other one. So that's something you can do too. That's kind of like its own game by itself. And then you have to earn the trust by playing with the creatures, feeding them, you know, paying attention to them. It's a little mini game. They have pellets that you can feed them. And then you can take them around and explore with them. You can give them their own. So, for instance, they have a bunch of different benefits. You can give them, like, they can scan for resources. They can mark hazards. You can provide torchlight. They can hunt creatures for you. They can locate buildings for you. They can dig up treasure for you. You can even put, like, the mining lasers on their shoulders, and they'll mine for you doing those. So, they're definitely utility creatures.
Which is what you want. They have you. Like, I
yeah.
mean, what,
like, it's like Ark, but you can actually kind of tune them to be.
Well, that's what
you
I was going
to
say is like, you look at Atlas and it's like, oh, wow, they added a dog and a cat. And it's like, yeah, but who cares? They don't do anything. Like, I mean, yeah, it's cool, but it's useless. I mean, if you're going to add something like animals or companions, I'd like them to be able to do something, even if it's just carrying around health or item. I mean, anything. It's just, you know, you're going to put the time into making a stupid thing to follow you around. At least make it do something useful. I mean, I don't know. That's just my thought on it. So, I don't know.
So, and one thing they say is that because they kind of give them like personalities based on what kind of creature they are and where they came from. So it will maintain some sort of a unique feature based on where you tamed it and what kind of creature it is.
Gotcha.
The creature also has a Neuralink with the exosuit. So it will translate their thoughts. You can kind of understand what they want and what they're saying.
It's like a Tamagotchi.
As well. Yes, it's pretty much the old, yeah, it's like the throwback to the Tamagotchi.
I am hungry.
But it'll be like, it'll say like excited, grrr, and you make a noise. So I don't know if that changes over time where you fill in all the words and or like roar, dumb thing, I will destroy. You know, they have really basic language. And then you can customize them in a couple ways too. You can change their color, the accessory colors, put decals on them, things like that. And then you collect them. So they, this is something where you go collect all the different types. And then let's see, raise a new generation. So they'll lay eggs. And then other than that, it's for fixes. Now, do you want to play, was there, let's see. And then they put out a patch. So that was that trailer. So that shows all that. Then they put out the 3.21 patch, which has a bunch of fixes based on some things that they implemented there. So
cool.
No new real content in that one.
All right.
So a good update.
Yes, absolutely. It does appear to be a very good update. Sea of Thieves. Let's see what's going on in the old pirate world here from our friends over at Xbox and Microsoft. This is update 2.0.22. They're saying that their rewards are continuing for their season one. Let's see.
And that's that. We showed that video like a month ago, I think, that showed the 100 tiers, where you have 100 tiers, almost all of like 90% of them are things that you get without paying. And then there's like the 10 or 12 things that you get with a season pass, paid season pass.
One thing that we've mentioned a lot of games should do, Sea of Thieves is doing it as well. They're bringing timed-based game events or game different in-world events to the game. So each month there will be each month of a season, rather, will bring a fresh time-limited event offering its own reward. So even though the events will be probably somewhat similar, they'll be different, they'll appear differently, and it'll just give this I don't remember what you used to call it, Brian, when you used to you'd want to go log back in to just get a task or do something, but it keeps you coming back. It keeps that heartbeat alive for you to go and play that. There's some more information.
Yeah, your dailies.
Your dailies, exactly. And then they also have restocked the Pirate Emporium, which is the shop. They added a ship set, costumes and weapons, sharing shelf space with the Sails of Hope. So a couple of things that they've added to the Pirates Emporium. They've added some new cosmetics, including the Dark Adventurer's ship set, which you can now purchase, the Sunshine Parrot set, the Renegade Sea Dog set, and then there's a couple of legacy event cosmetics that they've added as well. The game now supports Japanese localization across the entire game. This is interesting. Steam Friend Support. When playing Sea of Thieves on Steam, using the Invite Friend menu will now allow you to invite players to your crew, not only from your Xbox friends list, but also your Steam friends list. So a little bit of cross-platform stuff going on there. Yeah. When inviting a Steam friend to join you, they will receive a notification through Steam, which can be accessed from the overlay. So what's that? Shift-Tab, I think, is the Steam menu for that. And then a couple of other things, mono audio support, some gameplay fixes, nothing too crazy. It is a pretty large, and this they do, it's a pretty large update. It's 6.5 gigabytes across almost every platform. So be aware with that.
Cool. All right. Let's see. Let's talk really quickly. There, Fortnite, there was just a new set of skins added. Of course, you know, they always do that, but it's based on Street Fighter. So I know Lance should love this. I don't know if he's still playing Fortnite, but they have pretty much the Ryu and Chun-Li. There's a video for this. If you want to play that really quick, people will be able to see what it looks like.
Let me see.
The whole thing is a video.
Yeah, hopefully I don't get a copyright strike, but we'll be fine.
What's the worst that can happen?
Yeah, I mean, who cares? It's just a podcast. All right, let's see.
Round one, fight!
Cool.
That's quick. There you go.
I mean, it looks pretty neat.
Yeah, so that's in there if you're interested. If you're a Street Fighter fan, you can check that out. All right. Dead by Daylight, they had a bug fix patch that they put out. It is 4.5.2. Now, this it has a lot of just a big list of bug fixes. They did some HUD layout changes in this patch as well. So the HUD will look a little bit differently, but mostly this was a bunch of bug fixes across the board. One thing, I did find an article for people that are interested talking about, and this is on PC Gamer, talking about their graphical overhaul that they're doing. Remember how we've been showing kind of different sets of screens, the before and afters of things they've been working on, showing the updates to the maps and characters and everything else. They're about halfway done with that, according to this article. So they talked about some things that are coming next in here. And you know, this, if you're interested, if you're really into Dead by Daylight, I encourage you to go read this article. And they have some videos kind of showing some of the things that's happened recently. But I mainly just want to put that in there for people that are interested in seeing some of the hints at what's going to be next. They revamped 21 maps so far and visual effects. So that's quite a big set of changes. And they're
it's like the entire game. I mean, there's not much. Yeah. They've literally gone through and redone the entire game in terms of visual.
Now, they mentioned they started the game when they originally shipped the game. They had 30 people. Today, they have about 300 people working on Dead by Daylight, 50 others working on it in some other respects. So, you know, there's quite a bit bigger team than they when we did that original interview back at PAX many years ago.
Yeah, it was 2017.
They're a much big different company. Yes.
Long time ago.
So,
this next one, Brian, is, I don't know where this came from. I've never heard of any of these groups or anything. So can you explain to me what this is?
Yeah, so Judd actually had put some information about this, and this is a game that's actually being funded on Patreon. So the group is called Clout. Now, there is it's pretty much just a stream of the video. I don't know if you want to play that in the background, but this is a brutal horror game with dismemberment mechanics. I think it's called Ill, but people are subscribing pretty much for, you know, like $3, $5, or $10 a month during the development of this. And it
you
seems like
watch
it's
this video. I think there's some audio on it.
Yeah, there's I mean, there's audio of what's happening in the game. So go ahead and play that, and then we can listen for a bit. And then if you want to jump in and make any comments, feel free.
Okay, yeah, let's do it. Oops. Oh, radio station.
Jesus.
It's Tiger Woods. Too soon?
Oh, too soon.
Fuck. Oh, shit.
Hello?
I'm so sorry.
No, I didn't. That's a terrible aim.
Yeah, they didn't fix that. They don't have like a right click aim down sight.
Oh, damn.
Oh, that's interesting. That was actually... That's
cool. Yeah. Jesus Christmas. All right, thanks for that. So it's on Patreon. Looks like they've got about just over 900 patrons rather. They're making about $3,500 bucks a month. I will note, it was pointed out in chat that there was no gameplay in that. That was all what appeared to be
cinematic.
Well,
they have things that kind of look like gameplay, but they're mostly, they're all pre-rendered and, you know, here's along this point and do this.
There's no, I'm looking at the details here. There's no description of when the game is planning on coming out. There are some different tiers that you can subscribe on. The first one is $3 a month. Gets you early access to the game. But yeah, that's it. They're not, there's none of the tier levels currently get you access to anything higher. It's just a simple, you know, pay more thing. So you get exclusive access to posts on Patreon, early access to everything we release publicly, community polls, and then a Patreon role. And that includes Discord, perk as well. So that's it. Not a crazy amount of details. I mean, if they can turn that,
if they can make the gameplay feel anything close to that, yeah, that
looks awesome. It kind of reminds me of what Friday the 13th could have been and should have been, right? That whole car mechanic and everything with that. So, yeah, it's called Ill, I-L-L. And yeah, there's no Steam page or anything like that for it, but you can check out their Patreon. It's patreon.com/clout, C-L-O-U-T underscore games.
Definitely worth checking out. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Let's see. Is there anything else? Did we miss anything?
No, we did not. Which is great.
I think we covered everything.
All right. Then let's go ahead and do a quick current players. Let's take a look at who's playing some different video games around the internets. Currently playing Ark 40,666, the number of the beast. The 24-hour peak, 68,833, with a 7-day peak of 85,386. Taking a look at Rust, 87,170 individuals currently playing that. The 24-hour peak, 125,867, with a 7-day peak of 170,717. Taking a look at 7 Days to Die, currently playing 15,886. The 24-hour peak, 20,843, with a 7-day peak of 27,934. And finally, wrapping us up, Miscreated, currently playing 209. The 24-hour peak, 361, with a 7-day peak of 473. And that brings us current with current players. I guess I'll get a Valheim graphic thrown into the loop for next week, so we can bring you the updated numbers on them. It's a bit of a process to get that in there, but we'll get that in there next week and then start bringing you some updated numbers on them.
All right, so let's go and roll into tip of the week, where either I give a general gaming tip, or hopefully if people are going to start playing some Osiris New Dawn, they will enjoy this. And this is tip of the week. All right, so in Osiris, when building your first base, I really encourage you to try to look for a location that has three items. First of all, you want to find one that has a sap tree. And the sap tree, that is good for getting it pretty much thirst. If you're thirsty, you can drink from that, and that'll quench your thirst. So that way you're not having to constantly rely on water. Another thing you're looking for is the geysers of hydrogen. The hydrogen will go through and help you make plastics. So it's part of the crafting, but those are one of the things that you'll use a lot of, and it's really helpful to have them close. And then nitrogen. Now nitrogen, that is something you use for your fuel. It makes it so you can actually fly. If you don't have that, you're not going to be able to take off in your ship, and you'll have to travel and try to find it. It makes it more difficult. A few other things you might want to keep in mind. This thing has some of the features that sometimes we look at a game where like it doesn't do this, but they do have an auto run in this, which is nice. Also, they have the shift clicks. You can shift click to transfer inventory stacks. If you shift right click, it'll drop items in your inventory. So a lot of this has all the survival features that we're looking at. We're dead for a while, but I encourage you, if you have this game, maybe run the update, try it out, see if some of the recent changes have made it much more playable, because the graphics are beautiful on the game. The gameplay is actually very good. I have played it a little bit, and I think they are making a comeback. I think that the reason they were down is purely because of all the issues with their publisher, and I think that they do have actually a future in this game, so I would encourage you to go check it out. Another thing you do is with the map, one interesting thing is you actually can read nature data. So like where the mineral nodes and all those things are. So open up your map to help find some of these things to pick out that base, because they are listed on there. So hopefully that helps you out. If you have a chance to play it, that is tip of the week.
Alrighty, thank you very much, Brian. I do want to make a note here. We heard about it in the Shadowfrax video. There's going to be a Rust wipe next Thursday. That is March 4th. That Friday and through that weekend, we're going to be playing and doing Rust for Game of the Week on our friend Judd's server. He actually has been making his own map that it should be ready to go for that time. So we'll post the details and have them next week. But pencil on your calendar March 5th, the Friday or Thursday for Game of the Week as we'll play play Rust on our friend Judd's server and jump back into that. So I was going to go out of town that late next week, but I've decided against that. So I'll play some No Man's Sky and some Rust and to get all that stuff squared away. So we'll go ahead and do that. We'll have all the details next week on the show.
Cool. All right. So let's go ahead and do, we're getting ready for the game giveaway.
Yes, sir.
All right. So congratulations, Kenrix S2. So Kenrix S2, you have won. I will send you a message here in Twitch. that will allow you to redeem that. It'll be three different links, so you can redeem all three things. And hopefully it's a fun game to play. Let us know if you do get one of these game giveaways. If you do enjoy the game, make sure you let us know, because a lot of times I give away games that I haven't redeemed myself if I don't think I'm going to play them. But that doesn't mean they're not a good game. It's just I've got too many games to redeem and I just don't have time. So
absolutely.
Congratulations.
Yes, sir. All right.
Anything else you want to cover before we roll it out?
No, I was going to ask you the same thing. Do we have everything that we need?
I think we do. So if you want to find me, you can find me on Parler or on whatever else at a Brian Aldridge Gab. You can go to my website, biteoftech.com, or if you go to our website, infectionpodcast.com, make sure you go to the right-hand side there and join our server on Discord, especially if you're interested in playing Rust with us in the coming week. That'll be where we'll be communicating. Also, we have our news channel. If you think there's a topic that we're not covering that we should be, go put that in the news channel and we review that for every show. We also have politics and health channel and everything else. Join our Steam group if you want to get a notification before the live show so you can participate in things like the game giveaway. If you want to watch the video live, you can do that through Twitch, YouTube, BitChute, or DLive. Or if you want to watch the pre and post show, you can do that through Podcast Extras. If you want to listen to it after the fact, you can do that in the lower right through all the various podcast forms. They got desktop apps, mobile apps, all kinds of ways to listen there. And then if you want to follow along with the show notes, you can do that. We have 319 episodes worth of show notes at this point. And so if you want to watch a video, read an article that we referred to, you're more than welcome to do that through there. There's a video and audio player in those. If you want to support us, go to the support tab up top or to go to infectionpodcast.com/support. Or if you want to go to amazon.infectionpodcast.com, humble.infectionpodcast.com, or the Prime Gaming subs, as you've heard here throughout the show.
Brand new service on the board as well, Subscribestar. You can head on over to their website. We'll have a link on the website here shortly. Subscribestar.com/infectionpodcast. Unlike that other Patreon, there's no illusions of anything there. It is strictly for support. That's all. No special roles. You don't get to give Brian or I any kisses. None of that is strictly a replacement of the Twitch. Nothing else. We'll update the Discord role accordingly to stop calling it a Twitch subscriber and just call it a subscriber. So,
yeah.
Brian, thank you as always. I look forward to hearing some of the Xbox tales when you get that guy all set up. That'll be cool. And
see how it goes.
Yes, and we'll be back next week. So. Let's see. Well, my name is Nick Craig. I'm on Gab, pretty cool site at Nick. You can follow me there. I'm also on Parler. If you want to check out some of my political antics, which a couple of people did in Discord this week, you can check that out at atnshow.com. That's atnshow.com. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for another episode of Infection Podcast. If you missed any portion of the show, you can get show notes, links, videos, pictures, all that fun stuff. It's on our website, infectionpodcast.com. Have a great week. Thank you for joining us, everybody. We'll see you next time.